Good Friday afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this fine Food Friday, July 24th. I'm Aaron Schello-Levine, still in for Ray Graff, just a couple more episodes to go. Here we are in the dog days of summer, and today we focus on the cold stuff. I'm talking about ice cream. With us today is Megan Kitzhak from Supreme Soft Serve. Megan started Supreme Soft Serve with a single trailer in the Hudson Valley and grew a fascinating and delicious business model, crafting one-day ice cream shops for weddings and events where the dessert stops the show. Covering the hard ice cream today is Julian Hamm, the founder and ice cream maker behind Alleyway Ice Cream. Give us a call at 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551 with all your ice cream questions, or voxpop at WAMC. Hello once again, and welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Aaron Schello-Levine. I'm still in for Ray Graff. He hasn't shown up in the past 8-9 minutes. So, on this Food Friday, we're talking ice cream. Joining us today is Megan Kitzhak, founder and chief rule breaker at Supreme Soft Serve. Megan is a 19-year ice cream veteran working in both hard and soft ice cream in every role from retail sales to plant manager and CEO. She's passionate about all natural and delusionally delicious desserts. Also here is Julian Hamm from Alleyway Ice Cream. It's a closet-sized ice cream shop located down an alleyway in Saugerties, New York, with flavors ranging from classics like Belgian chocolate and Madagascar vanilla to the unexpected like Thai tea cookies and cream, black sesame caramel, and banana pudding. Alleyway has become a destination for ice cream lovers, and most recently, 34th in the U.S. by Yelp, if we take Yelp's word for it. So let's talk ice cream today. The number to call is 1-800-348-2551. Again, that's 1-800-348-2551. You can also email us at voxpop at wamc.org. Megan and Julian, welcome to Food Friday.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Great to be here.
Yeah, so Julian, this is your first time, so I want you just a little bit closer to the microphone. I want the folks can hear you.
First time, a little bit closer.
There you go. And we'll get you. We'll get you there. I wanted to open up. We were talking a lot in the brief run-up to the start of the show. The pickle underwriting got read. I said, is pickle ice cream a thing that you guys do? I was told yes. What are some things that just don't work as creative ice cream flavors? It's the things that you get recommended, and you just have to look at them in the eyes and say, it just can't be done. Or is there no such thing?
Pastrami and rye did not taste very good.
Pastrami and rye?
Pastrami and rye. When I was first making ice cream, I lived with my sister in New York City. I made a burnt honey ice cream. I almost burnt our apartment down.
Right. Bad idea.
I think the FDNI was knocking at the door.
Mm-hmm. You can do anything you want.
Apparently not pastrami and rye.
But I don't recommend doing anything that you can come up with.
Do you get, I know you sort of, you do catered events, weddings in particular. Is there a flavor that, you know, a bride will ask you for and you say that's just a bad idea in the summer heat?
I always guide them in the right direction. but I haven't received any requests that are too crazy to make happen. I mean, the weirdest is vegan coconut curry that I made.
Sure.
And I mixed that with the bourbon brown sugar with a local bourbon, and they swirled together.
It's a lot of flavors.
It was actually really good.
I'm sure. How do you go about getting those flavors incorporated into an ice cream? I can't even begin to imagine the process to get a pastrami and rye in the form of a scoop.
Well, there are many ways you can get a flavor into an ice cream. For that particular flavor, you would take a pastrami and rye sandwich, put it in a plastic container, put some milk, cream, sugar in there, and an immersion blender, and blend it all together until it's smooth, and then churn it into an ice cream. And then you could have it with, a mustard topping if you'd like, or however you'd like, which ideally is you wouldn't like it, so don't
did
try
you,
it.
Did you do a honey mustard, or did you do
maybe
like
that was the problem.
Up?
Just a yellow mustard, like just mustard on top of ice cream?
I used the wrong mustard.
That was the problem, for sure. Not the blended pastrami sandwich.
Horrifying. Horrifying stuff. I love ice cream. I'm lactose intolerant. I've taken one of my two Lactaid pills. we will eventually get to the ice cream. I can the staff at WAMC is chomping at the bits. They've been talking about it all day. We'll hold them off. I get first dibs, which is the benefit of hosting the show. When we talk about starting ice cream sort of in this part of the world where you're expanding out of the Hudson Valley and beyond into the Capital District, not so much up into my neck of the woods. I'm sort of Southern Adirondack, Saratoga-ish. When you're looking for places to start, are there communities in this part of the world that are more open to more creative ice creams?
Yeah. As everything. there are places that you want to be and places that you don't want to be. And you just kind of have to take that as a business owner case by case.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the people that I work with are all over the Berkshires, Hudson Valley, even the Capital District. I've done some weddings in Saratoga. They're all clients that love ice cream and want to spend money on it
sure.
for their wedding.
Right,
so.
Right. Who doesn't?
You know.
For me, we have our closet-sized store in Saugerties, and it's still hard for me to believe sometimes. People drive from all over, from New Jersey, from Connecticut, from hours away, and they'll often say, oh, I live in this town in New Jersey or this town in the Adirondacks, and I'd like to have your ice cream there. So then when someone is asking where... like when they're saying where they'd like to see the ice cream, then I try to go to that town and bring it there for them. So I let the customers lead and let them tell me where they want it.
In pints, though, right? Not scoop shops.
In pints, not in scoop shops. The one and only scoop shop is in Saugerties, but pints are in an expanding number of stores around the Hudson Valley.
Right. So when you do those pints, I know you were talking about getting them into Walmart, and you know that's certainly big expansion.
I was not talking about getting them into Walmart.
that was a different company.
Oh, okay. So you're more local.
We're more local.
So talk to me about the effort to get pints sort of at local distributors throughout, you know, our region. What are some of the challenges there, and you know what I guess makes it a little bit easier, if there are things that make it easier as far as your own distribution?
Nothing that I can think of is very easy about ice cream except eating it.
Right.
When I'm trying to get the ice cream into a new store, it really helps when a customer comes and they say, I'm from Albany, is your store in an honest way? Yeah. And then I can go to the manager there and say, look, these customers are asking for alleyway at your store. I think we should try
something out.
I think we should work something out.
Right.
Try it there. Sometimes I'll just show up with ice cream pints and show up at a grocery store or a little independent cafe or something and say, like, hi, can I talk to the manager? Here's my ice cream. Would you like to try it? I really think you should sell it here. Sometimes it's stores that I've or restaurants that I've been to that I really love, and I think that would be great on their menu. So there's a lot of salesmanship, which is something I'm very, very bad at.
You let the ice cream speak for itself.
I do. The one nice thing, one of the many things, but one of the great things about ice cream is that it can speak for itself.
Sure.
I don't have to talk very much. I just say, here is my ice cream. Please try it. And then usually
it works out.
Someone says, I love it.
I bet.
Let's bring that in.
Yeah. It's an easy sell for the most part for most people.
As long as it's good ice cream.
As long as it's good ice cream. So for you guys, you know, are you chasing a golden goose? Is there either a flavor or like a texture or a kind, like an ice cream ideal that you're always running for? Or is it just, you know, showing up and doing the ice cream thing every day?
No, ultra premium always.
Yeah.
Which has a technical definition.
Sure.
And it has to do with butterfat percentage.
Okay.
And it's different between hard ice cream and soft ice cream. For me, I use a 10% mix. I add additional things to the base ice cream mix to make them better. On my standard public event menu, I add sea salt to my chocolate because it just makes it taste better. A lot of people are hesitant at first when they're like, ooh, salt. But salt is a seasoning and it makes everything taste better. So chocolate ice cream gets that. I use a Madagascar vanilla in my vanilla mix. And then as far as like custom flavors, we can do literally anything,
yep.
You know, vegan coconut curry and passion fruit is one of my favorite flavors to use in ice cream or anything. And then I do a lot of homemade with love toppings. Mm-hmm. But also I focus on like the less sweet, like traditionally ice cream is very sweet and sugary. I like to use my culinary background to kind of contradict that a little.
Yeah, sure. I feel like when I was coming of age, Froyo was like all the craze. There were Froyo shops anywhere. I think we've moved past.
It's coming back.
Is it coming back? Is it a danger to your guys' business model? Are you sort of getting ready to try and pivot, or you're sticking with ice cream?
For me, I think that Froyo has come and gone again.
Ice cream's been there.
The sort of American style ice cream that I'm making has just been there this whole time. So I think that I can just stay in this lane and everything will be fine.
Mm-hmm. And soft serve, same thing.
Yeah.
Who doesn't love soft serve?
Who doesn't love soft serve? So the season is, of course, well underway. Are we seeing the season grow? Are folks more trying to get, because I know that there are, you know, up in Saratoga Springs, there's Dairy House. There are locations where you get up and out to ice cream stores. Is that sort of a thing that you think is always going to be here? I mean, is it just an American tradition?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I think people love going out with their friends and families and getting an ice cream cone. It's actually the reason I wanted to start an ice cream business, because I thought I could make pretty good ice cream, but just going out and seeing how grandparents were there with their grandkids and people were on their first dates and there were friends laughing and having a good time, that is something that you can't just take home. So I think the experience of going out and getting an ice cream and just making memories with the people you care about is a reason that ice cream stores are not going anywhere.
So I think that brings me sort of to the last question I've got for you guys for right now. We'll go to a quick break and then we'll start taking some calls. For you guys, I mean, why do this other than getting to be around ice cream every day? Is there more of a driver, or is it as simple as that?
I mean, for me, it's serving the people really good ice cream.
Sure.
At their really special events.
Sure.
And also the freedom to not have to work in the winter and spend time with my two young children.
Yeah.
You know, life stuff.
Easy balance.
Yeah.
What about you?
For me, I love ice cream. I've loved it ever since I could remember loving anything. But the thing that I love most about it is the people. Really proud of all the employees that Alleyways had. I'm a really proud first-time employer, so I love when someone comes and they're in high school and they say, I've never had a job before, but my friend whose sister used to work here says they had a really good experience, and awesome. They are talking about it even though they worked here 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. So I like to be there and help people learn how to be in the workplace. It also helps me learn how to also be in the workplace as well. And it helps me feel young, because being around younger kids makes me know what is on trend and what is not on trend. And then taking care of the customers is the most important thing. So making sure people leave happier than when they came is what is most important.
Perfect. Well, we're going to take a quick break. We will be right back in just a couple of seconds here. It's Vox Pop Food Friday. We've got ice cream scoops coming up. We've got your ice cream questions as well. 1-800-348-2551 is the number to call. You can shoot us your ice cream questions at voxpop@wamc.org. It's still Food Friday Vox Pop here, WAMC's live call-in talk show. The number to call if you've got ice cream questions, 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. We're joined by Megan Kitsock and Julian Hom, our in-house ice cream experts. We're going to start with a couple of calls. Justin in Washington, D.C., you're on.
Hi. Long-time listener, first-time caller here. I grew up eating Ben and Jerry's ice cream. That's what my mom would get for us when it was on sale. And I'm just wondering, do you guys have a favorite flavor of Ben and Jerry's ice cream from back in the day? Or even a new flavor, for that matter?
Justin, thanks so much. All panelists. Or is Ben and Jerry's for you guys a little overrated?
I think they're underrated. I think that they changed everything. You know, there was the time before Ben and Jerry's and the time after Ben and Jerry's.
Sure.
So they're doing their thing, and I think that they have lifted everyone else up and said, like, well, this is what's possible. Let's make the cookies enormous.
Mm-hmm. And they're doing their own sort of taking a stand right now against all the powers that be, which seems pretty cool. I don't know.
They've always done that. And I mean, they're really good at what they do.
Yeah. Classics for a reason. Mary in Albany, who's got questions about the toasted rye ice cream. Mary, you're on.
Oh, hi. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, your blended pastrami on rye ice cream did not sound that great. But I remember hearing somebody, a previous guest on the show, talk about making an ice cream infused with toast. So I was thinking, what if you toasted that rye and used that to make the ice cream and then frizzled up the pastrami until it was crunchy and sprinkled that over the top?
I do love the idea.
I would try that, yeah.
If you'll try it, then I will make it. I do love the idea. Well, you know, let me take that back. I think that I am over
more than
there.
It's not
going to be. I don't think there's going to be more pastrami and ice cream, but toasted rye sounds great. I think especially it makes me think of toast with jam on it. So maybe it could be a toasted rye ice cream with some sort of, berry jam swirled into it. I think you might be onto something.
That would definitely be good, yeah.
Mary, thanks so much. When we're talking about those sort of more savory flavors with ice cream, are there things that
I'm a huge fan of bacon.
That is exactly what I was just fry up some bacon real crispy and use it as sprinkles, or is it an incorporation kind of thing?
What's... In my case, it would be a topping.
Okay.
I've done it candied. I've done it not candied.
Oh,
I do it
bacon.
With like a thick cut local bacon, and then it pairs really well with my smoked maple bourbon caramel sauce.
I bet it does.
Which is like, you know, everything that you could want for breakfast.
So at
throw it in a waffle bowl.
Yes,
just like breakfast of champions.
We're gonna get to the waffle bowl back in a second. I'm a cone guy primarily, and the ice cream kind of comes second on account of my aversion to lactose. But Chowder Fest is a huge thing in Saratoga Springs. Not ice cream. Some of the vendors, I don't want to sound partial here, do a bit of bribing, I would say, with the votes, because they'll just stick a whole chicken wing in with their cup of chowder. For candied bacon and ice cream, is that a thing where you just take a slab of bacon and just sort of stick it in the top of a scoop?
You could. I haven't, but you definitely
that
could.
That sounds delicious.
Like a bacon chip.
Yeah.
What if the cone were made out of bacon?
That would be cool, too.
So cone technology, I feel like everybody's always talking about these brand new and exciting ice cream flavors. Is there any advancement in the world of cones?
I mean, I make my own waffle,
sure,
waffle bowls.
Mm-hmm.
They're gluten-free, which is
sure
next level.
Absolutely.
But as far as like the standard cone, no.
You know, can't perfect
it's just
perfection.
What it is.
Yeah.
I will say we make our waffle cones to order, and having a warm waffle cone contrasted with a cold ice cream is one of the best things that you can eat.
I would bet. We're going to take another call. Jane in Livingston Manor, who's talking about infusing ice cream with fruit. Jane, you're on.
Hi. So my question is about infusing fruits like peach or strawberry into both the custard and little pieces of fruit. What's the best method for doing that?
I think the best method, it depends a little bit on the fruit, because each fruit has its own characteristics that make ice creams harder or softer. But usually the best thing to do is take the fruit and add some sugar. So maybe you could try, if you start with 5 ounces of fruit, add 5 ounces of sugar, and then that should taste good. If it doesn't taste good, often the problem is that it just needs more sugar. I believe that ice cream should taste not as sweet as most people make it, but with fruit is really sweet. And because ice cream is cold, when you make something cold, it kind of deadens the flavor a little bit. And so to bring it back, you have to add some sweetness into it. And then as far as adding
I'm not sure what you mean by adding sugar to the fruit.
So let me.
Talking about making peach ice cream.
So if we're making a peach ice cream, you have to get the water out of the peaches. If you don't get the water out of the peaches, they're going to turn into rocks in your ice cream. So there's two ways to do that. One is with sugar. The other is with alcohol, because they lower the freezing point of the peaches. So you can take your peaches, you can cook them in sugar, which will also help to get some of that water out, or you can cook them in alcohol, or you can just macerate them, which means like mash it up with sugar or alcohol to reduce the freezing point so that they don't turn into rocks and you get more of like a peachy sauce consistency instead of like icy peach chunks. Does that make sense?
Okay.
Because fruit is mostly water, and when you freeze water, right. It turns to ice. So the problem is that there's a lot of water and it turns to ice in the fruit. So you just have to add sugar, which is essentially replacing some of the water so it doesn't freeze quite as hard.
And then add salt to make the flavor better.
Jane, thanks so much for giving us a ring in. For you guys, were there steps along the way in the journeys to get where you are right now where you learned those lessons, where you learned that the way that you do this is you add sugar or you add alcohol, where you just really, really screwed up a batch of ice cream?
No, I never make mistakes. No, obviously I've learned a lot of it through, you know, trial and error.
Yeah.
I do have a very strong culinary background, so mm-hmm. I know a lot about food and food science and how things work and how you can manipulate things to turn them into something better. So it's been a while since I've had a huge error.
A huge mistake.
But, you know, I obviously started somewhere.
Is there a kind of lesson that you try to forewarn other folks who are starting out here that's just kind of like you can warn them as much as you can, but there's just things that you have to mess up once?
With food in general, mm-hmm. it's not as easy as everyone thinks it is.
Sure, sure.
That's it.
Yeah.
I would say when you're starting, if you're making, say, a custard base with eggs in it, you're definitely going to burn the eggs a few times. It's mm-hmm. a little bit tricky to get right at first. I have no culinary background, so I had no idea what I was doing. My only culinary background previous to ice cream was being fired from Panera in high school. But so I've learned along the way. I just take a lot of notes. I think it's important to taste a lot the things that you're making, the things that you're having out in the world, and consider, do I like this? Do I not like this? Why? How can I recreate this at home? What would I do differently? How can I make this better next time? What if I try cooking it longer? What if I try steeping it a little bit less? You just have to experiment.
It's a lot of experimentation.
This is like auto technical stuff, but I think in the end it kind of comes down to taste.
Mm-hmm. Just whatever you like. Tinkering here and there. We've got a question talking about eggs and ice cream. John asks, or says rather, howdy. We have a good Italian ice cream maker and have made some great flavors like malt ice cream with malted milk balls. But the question is, semicolon, our Philadelphia style was super smooth, but the vanilla was a little icy. Is that because chocolate is an emulsifier? Thanks, John. I don't even know what Philly style ice cream is.
Philly style, which is the only style that I actually know has a name, just means ice cream without eggs in it.
Sure.
Otherwise, it's just ice cream, which would normally have eggs in it. Chocolate, I don't know if I'd necessarily is so much an emulsifier, but because whereas fruit has a lot of water in it, chocolate has almost no water in it. So you get a lot more body because you're just adding like some density to whatever it is you're making.
And it has a fat content, mm-hmm. If you're having icy vanilla, I would look at your fat content first. If it's less than 10%, that could be why.
And so if it's less than 10%, it just means what? There's just more water than there
it
needs
means
to
that,
be?
Yeah, it means there's more liquid than fat. Hmm. So it's just not going to be as creamy. It's going to be more icy.
Chunky.
Because water, you know, is icy and cream is not.
There you go.
The other thing people do to combat iciness is you can add non-fat milk powder to it, and that will also displace some of the water, and that should also help reduce the iciness.
So then in the world of vegan ice cream, how are we dealing with fat content there?
There are a lot of fat options that are not dairy.
Really?
Yeah. Coconut.
Sure. Right. That counts. Counts as non-dairy.
Uh-huh. That is not a dairy.
We're going to take a call from Mark in East Moncton, Vermont, who's got a comment on ice cream flavors. Mark, you're on.
Yes. I love ice cream, yet I can't eat it so much now because I have gout, and it seems like whenever I eat it, I might get a flare-up. But I think the most amazing flavors are coffee. I mean, a real coffee ice cream, not something that's the real deal. And also maple walnut. And Ben and Jerry's used to make a maple walnut, God, 30 years ago. They stopped making it. It was incredible. But those are my choices for flavors. And does that have to do with the fat content that gives you that rich flavor?
It's usually the inclusion that they put in, the flavoring that they use, more than the actual. There's so many factors when you're talking about like one specific flavor across companies that it's hard to pinpoint that. But I would say if they're using a high quality coffee and a high quality ice cream base, then it's going to be good because it's flavored well and it's a good base.
I will say that
I also think that Stewart's ice cream is incredible. I mean, they're right up there with. It's like not overkill. You can taste the flavors. I mean, I too much sugar just wrecks the whole experience, in my opinion.
Yeah, we don't want too much sugar. I will say that I wish you were in the studio because I have some pints sitting in this chair right next to me in this cooler of our new most popular flavor, which is Vietnamese coffee and caramel. So it's got this great Vietnamese coffee, and it's got caramel swirled in it, and I wish you could taste it.
You'll have to grab a pint.
Coffee's the best.
Mark, coffee thanks so much. We appreciate the calls. And one more call talking about swirls. We're going to go to Susan in West Stockbridge, who apparently has a question about making swirls. Susan, you're on.
Hi, I have a question. I have a glut of plums, and I've been a little obsessed with making ice cream lately, and I thought, wow, should I make a plum ice cream? Should I make a swirl? And my question is, I don't know whether to reduce the plums and make a swirl because they don't, I mean, they don't have, they're one of those things that to me don't have a lot of kick and flavor on their own, or is there, what is a good aromatic to mix with it, or should I mix a different, mix it with another berry or fruit?
Well, if you mix it with another berry or fruit, you're going to overpower it. I would either cook it down. You could mix it with like a brandy situation, to like get some of that water out and intensify the flavor.
Get some of the brandy in.
Put that brandy in. There are, you know, I would, if I were going to make a plum ice cream, I would probably cook it down and add salt.
Yeah.
If you're talking about making it into like a swirl to top like vanilla or something else, that would probably intensify the flavor also easier than making the base mix a plum flavor.
But it sounds like you have a lot of plums, so I think I would just try it and see how it tastes.
Or make a plum sorbet and do like pureed plums with some sugar and some water, and spin that into like a sorbet instead of ice cream.
Well, yeah, and I was going to ask if maybe instead of using all the heavy dairy that sometimes overcomes some of the flavor, I could use coconut milk because would coconut milk help, you know, keep the flavor there instead of getting lost in eggs and dairy and all that?
Depends on the coconut.
I think the coconut has a very strong taste, so that might overpower the plums. I think that you might have better luck with dairy.
Or no dairy.
Or no dairy, which I think is a great idea.
A little sorbet action.
Right, right.
Susan, thanks so much for giving us a ring. Absolutely. So I think questions that just appear in my wonderful mind. When we're talking about your extensive culinary background, you know, obviously people will go to culinary school for that kind of training. Is there a destination for aspiring ice creamers to go to and learn from? Or is it, you're making a face?
I didn't go to culinary school. I learned everything in working.
So, but is there sort of a destination? Is there a place where people want to go to learn how to make ice cream, or is it just a sort of a trial and error best?
There are places. I can't name them.
Because I went to ice cream college, which is at Penn State, which is the same place where Ben and Jerry's learned how to make ice cream. So every winter they have an ice cream course where 100 to 200 people come from around the world who want to learn all the technical details of ice cream. And I was already deep into it when I went there, but I learned a lot about why some flavors are really hard to scoop, why some flavors melt, the difference in having how having a high butterfat changes the flavor and how having a low butterfat changes the flavor.
Ice cream school.
How to freeze the ice cream, how to put inclusions into it, how to make ice creams with fruit. So very interesting place. So that's the place.
So I know in the middle of COVID, I decided not to go back to my undergrad, and I moved out with family who live in Madison, Wisconsin, and mm-hmm. that school has a whole ice cream store. And that's like from the cow to the store. They've got students running, I think, almost the entire show. Do you guys, are you familiar with the people that you're getting your products from, or no? Because
yeah, I am.
So the ingredients in, because if you're getting them put together at a different place and then be distributed, is there sort of a disconnect there, or do you still want to make sure that you know where everything is coming from?
You have to.
Yeah.
For safety alone, sure. You have to know what's sure. in your what's in your product. I use Ronnybrook mm-hmm. for all of my mm-hmm. dairy, mm-hmm. which is 20 minutes from my house.
There you go.
And I just a few days ago went to Cream Hill Dairy to pick up some buttermilk, which goes into our buttermilk strawberry ice cream. Mm-hmm. It was just right down there on the farm, and it's this real buttermilk. They make butter. They make really, really good butter. And then when they're done with it, they have actual buttermilk left over from that. So we use that to help flavor our strawberry ice cream.
Amazing.
But yeah, it's really, they're just farms. When you get out there and drive, you see cows everywhere, and New York's a dairy state.
It is. We're going to take two more calls before heading out for a break and then coming back and actually trying some of this ice cream. We're going to start with Dwayne in North Adams. You're on. Maybe.
Hi, this is Diane in North Adams.
Diane. We can hear you. You're on.
Oh, that's good. So there's been a lot of...
cottage names, cheese.
I would call them, about cottage cheese and fruit, and you put it in a blender and maybe add some sugar, and you put it in the freezer for a couple of hours, and you've got soft ice cream. Does that make any sense?
If you want to be on a diet and that's the kind of ice cream you want to eat, go for it.
Does it count as ice cream?
I mean, it's technically got cream in it because it's cheese, but
it's not for you.
That's not what I would be making at home.
Mm-hmm. I think you should try it. I think that sounds like that could be a good experiment. I think you could blend it up and then let it freeze, and it might taste good. Who knows?
See what happens.
I mean, cottage cheese by itself is pretty good. Cottage cheese with fruit in it is really good. So maybe frozen is great.
Who's to say? I have a beholder.
Let us know.
Diane, thanks so much. Appreciate the call. We're going to head out for a break. We'll be back soon. We're going to take out the ice creams, get to tasting. I'll take the second of my two lactate pills to avoid any calamities. Vox Pop, give us a ring with your ice cream questions or comments, or when we're tasting the ice cream, if you're mad that it's not you, we'll take your call too. 1-800-348-2551. You can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. It's 2:43-ish. It's Vox Pop, WAMC's live call-in talk show. Give us a call. It's ice cream on this Food Friday. We've got some ASMR of all of these new ice cream pints getting opened here in Studio A. The number to call with your ice cream questions is 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. As we're getting some of these ice cream flavors set up for testing, we're going to take one more call, and then we'll get right into the flavor town. We'll go Nancy from San Francisco, who's got a cone comment. Nancy, you're on.
Hi. I have to vote for chocolate. I had some gelato that had, I believe it was Peruvian coffee in it, and it was just the most amazing thing. But my comment is basically about the wafers, the cones. I love the nice crisp of the cones. And
it's the best part of the ice cream.
I'm so disappointed because a lot of times they're kind of stale and they're kind of rubbery. So I was in the Netherlands and I had a cone that was like wafer thin, and it was stable enough so that it held up while I was eating my cone, but it was just amazing. It was so nice and thin. So I do believe there's room for improvement of the cone.
I couldn't agree more, Nancy. Thank you so much for your comment. So you guys make your cones in-house fresh, essentially to order, right?
I make waffle bowls.
Waffle bowls. I'm
to
sorry.
Order.
How could I call them a cone? Disrespectful.
I honestly, on my end. I cannot figure out how to use that stupid cone roller thing. So I do bowls.
So what, you just form it into a kind of with your hands? Or
yeah,
is
no,
there a press?
I have like a metal little bowl that you put the hot waffle into, sure, and it forms it, and then it hardens because it hardens, and then I just pull it out of there and serve it.
Okay, let's get into some of these ice creams. If you've got a spoon or a scoop or a whatever you want us to use, he's got a scooper.
I came prepared. I got a scooper. I've got the tops off. I had this cooler at just the right temperature, hopefully. And
they look perfect.
Five flavors here. Speaking of chocolate from San Francisco,
right? So break us down what we've got.
Well, there's a new chocolate flavor here. Our friends from Fruition Chocolate, which are about 2 minutes from where I live, made this beautiful Dominican chocolate specifically for this ice cream, which is a major upgrade from the Belgian chocolate we used to have, although that was pretty good too. And this does have a little bit of Colombian coffee extract in it, actually, which helps bring out that chocolate flavor just a little bit. I think we should save this flavor for last, though, because that's going to kind of overpower all the other flavors. Yeah. I would start... If we're going to try all of them, I'll make these scoops pretty small with this banana pudding ice cream. So this is banana ice cream, and then it's got vanilla wafers in it.
Mike Bowen in our
here, and I can make as much
frothing at the mouth.
I can make more or less of this for everyone, but
I'll
make things tiny.
Could I get a spoon? Please?
Yes,
at your convenience. I don't want to rush you.
Okay.
Okay, so this is the
banana pudding.
Sure.
And it's kind of inspired by
being
in Savannah, Georgia, and
also
by
it's just incredible.
Banana pudding bakery in New York City. And I just wanted to put it in ice cream form.
You know, I'm a banana hater, but it's very good. And it's funny because I make a salty banana sauce and I made it because I just had a shitload of bananas. Oops. A lot of bananas in my kitchen. And I was like, I'm going to make this salty banana sauce. And it's literally just bananas and brown sugar and sea salt. And people are loving it. And I have to keep making more of it. And it's just like the wildest thing to me because I don't get it.
Yeah.
But this is really
good too.
I've
never been a big fan of the if it's not a banana and it's banana flavored, I have a real hard time. But I've cleaned my bowl. It's incredible.
That's what I like to hear.
I'll have whatever else is next on the docket.
Next on the docket, let's do the ube heath bar crunch. So if you don't know, ube is a purple Filipino yam.
It's
the
new
thing. I will say that this has been on our menu for many years before ube was the new thing.
Ube is from...
It's a purple sweet potato.
No, but in the world.
It's from the Philippines. In my former pre-ice cream life, I was a photographer, and I was working on photographing a hotel in the Philippines, and everything there is ube. Ube muffins, ube ice cream, ube cake, mostly desserts, but I'm like, this is delicious. Let's bring this home. And I came back, and I made ube ice cream. And I wanted to make it a little bit more familiar, so that's how the heath bar got in there.
This one's really good. It matches your shirt, Mike. He's purple today. How would you describe the flavor of ube? Because you said it's a sweet potato, but this isn't... I wouldn't say this is sweet potato ice cream.
Well, that's why they use it in dessert. I think it's got nutty vanilla flavor is how I would usually describe it.
Okay. I had a ube flan recently at a restaurant in New York City that was really good. This is delicious.
Thank you.
When you're looking at sourcing ingredients for like this kind of thing, where it's, I'll say, you can correct me, more of an exotic addition, costs fluctuating for this kind of ice cream. How does that play into even the math of deciding to go forth?
Well, everything is super expensive. The local dairy we use is very expensive. The ingredients we use are also very expensive.
Sure.
So sometimes finding the ingredient can be difficult. So, finding the right thing to go in this flavor can be hard to source. So price is important. I mean, if something is delicious, but it's going to cost, $95 a scoop, then it's not going to be something that I could sell. So it's definitely a consideration.
This is incredible. My mouth is full with ice cream. I think to break up the tasting, we'll take a call for Marianne in Albany, who's got questions about cow's milk. Marianne, you are on.
Hi, thank you. And this is regarding cow's milk here in the States. I'm assuming that the main product is the milk, right? And so is there a difference in taste or the way you work with in making the ice cream as to whether it's like Holstein or Jersey?
I think as far as ice cream making, it doesn't make that much of a difference because other things are added. Even if it's a very simple vanilla ice cream, I think the vanilla kind of will overpower any difference you might taste in the milk. But I think if you taste them side by side, you might be able to taste the difference of the breed of cow. And then if you have a really good palate, you might be able to taste the difference in the summer and the winter based on what the cows were eating. So it's definitely possible. I think in ice cream, it might not be possible, but I think with a milk tasting, if you had a cup of a few different milks, you may be able to taste the difference.
Okay. Thank you.
Of course. Thank you so much. I also have an email right here in front of me that says, I've been listening with the ice cream crew and have not heard one mention of the companies or where to buy. So I'll let you guys plug yourself really quickly.
You go first.
Where can people find you guys?
Well, I'm here from Alleyway Ice Cream. We are located at 135 Partition Street in Saugerties. And we also sell our pints in about 50 stores or so across the Hudson Valley. The best way to find all this information is just by looking at our Instagram, which is at Alleyway Ice Cream. We're also on Facebook, Alleyway Ice Cream. We have a website, alleywayicecream.com.
It's all pretty straightforward.
Alleywway Ice Cream. Those are all the best ways to find us.
Yeah, and I'm Megan from Supreme Soft Serve. I primarily do private events, weddings, birthday parties, pop-ups, corporate events. But you can find my public events page on my website, which is supremesoftserve.com. You can also follow me on Instagram at Supreme Soft Serve, on Facebook, Supreme Soft Serve. All pretty straightforward as well. But if you have a wedding or a party coming up, that is when you're going to email me, which is Megan@supremesoftserve.com.
Sure. You said there was a cookies and cream one.
Yes, I have a...
I really want that one.
This is one of my favorites. This is Thai tea cookies and cream. So it's Thai tea ice cream, which is infused with Thai tea, and then it's got Oreos swirled in it.
Sure.
Let's get you
I'll
some.
Take a scoop.
Let's get you some of that.
When it comes to toppings, is there, for you, is there a supreme topping? Is there a topping that is the best for you guys personally?
Yeah. My smoked maple bourbon caramel uses Cooper's Daughter bourbon, which is like my neighbor. It's the best bourbon around. So I cook that down with my caramel sauce, and I cook it more than like a traditional caramel sauce. So it gets like a smokier, darker, richer flavor instead of, you know, the overly sweet caramel. Mm-hmm. That's my best seller. I also make a really good homemade hot fudge.
Sure.
My dark chocolate quinoa crack is an up and coming winner. It's puffed quinoa, so it's like the whole grain quinoa
but
puffed, so like Rice Krispie texture. And then I enrobe it in dark chocolate and sprinkle some sea salt on there, smash
so
it up.
It's like a chocolate crunchy kind of thing.
It's kind of like a crunch bar.
How do you
except
puff
way better
a quinoa?
I get it that way.
You get okay. Do you know how they get it?
You
that
can,
way
just, you can just like toast it in a pan. It does, it pops like popcorn. It's a pain though if you do it yourself.
I bet. This is incredible.
Thank you very much. I came up with this flavor when I was with my now wife. We were traveling through Thailand, and I was drinking a Thai tea, which was very good. And then I looked in a window, and I saw a box of Oreos, and I thought, oh, my God, that's the flavor. I came back and
so this was already well into your ice cream making
this
career.
This was well into the ice cream making career.
Are you – so in moments like that where you're sort of struck by divine inspiration, is that most of where at this point sort of the more creative flavors come from, or are you – I mean – I assume as we've been getting calls and emails all day about, you know, flavor suggestions is for you guys, you know, what's the your favorite way and preferred way to be sort of coming up with these interesting flavors?
Well, I since I primarily do events, people call and make requests and I make it happen.
Right.
So and that's kind of like where I love the creative part of that because they give me challenges and then I have to figure it out. Mm-hmm. Or tweak it to something that we can agree on, or you know, do things that way. I also am really creative with my toppings when I'm doing public events. I don't usually do weird flavors at public events because people get upset if I don't have vanilla chocolate or twist.
Right.
But I do get a little crazy with my toppings, like the quinoa crack. Right now I have a blueberry basil sauce that I have. I have a salty peanut butter sauce. I have that salty banana sauce. Yeah, so that's where I get to be creative. I also do a snack crack, which is like chocolate chip cookie dough, potato chips, peanuts, rainbow sprinkles, all enrobed in dark chocolate, and that's smashed up.
Amazing. We're getting sort of close-ish, definitely, to the end of the show. In the last couple of minutes here, we got an email from Christina who asks, can you recommend an ice cream cookbook Bible for the home cook? I'm currently using a basic Cuisinart spinning bowl ice cream maker. Is an upgrade worth it? So that's two questions. We can take them one at a time. Is there a de facto ice cream Bible for folks who are trying to make it on their own way at home?
I don't tend to go to recipe books when I'm making things. It's just not something that
that's
I do. So I don't really have a suggestion for you. I know there's like a Jenny's ice cream one that might have like a good base situation.
Sure.
But beyond that, I honestly don't know.
I also would recommend Jenny's, but I think my favorite ice cream Bible from home book is called Hello, My Name is Ice Cream by Dana Cree.
Okay.
It's really good. I learned a lot from that. It's not too technical, but it's technical enough to learn things that you can improve and what's going wrong. And then I think Jenny also has the book that was previously recommended, has a great book just showing you what flavor possibilities are out there. So I'd recommend those two. And for ice cream making at home, I think the best thing to do, maybe instead of upgrading your ice cream maker, is just to make sure that the bowl is very frozen. So turn your freezer down as cold as possible. Put it all the way back in the freezer, which is the coldest part of your freezer. Once it's in there, don't open it. Leave it in there for at least 24 hours, maybe 2 days. Make sure the base mix that you're putting into it is very cold when you're putting it in. And I think that that'll go a long way to making good ice cream.
Making everything cold.
You want everything as cold as possible.
Makes sense. I think we're getting right up to the end here. I think we've got one more flavor.
We've got two more. I'll give you both. So we've got the Vietnamese coffee with a caramel swirl in it. Oh. And then we've got our fruition chocolate from our friends.
Well, I may not wait to eat that while we're still on air. We're getting close to the end of the show. As unfortunate as that might be, we'll get ice cream to all the folks here in studio that are clawing at the door for their scoops. We'll get you. We're good for it here. You've been listening to Vox Pop here on WAMC. Sorry if we couldn't get to your calls. Sorry if we couldn't get to your emails. Thanks to Megan Kitsock of Supreme Soft Serve and Julian Hom from Alleyway Ice Cream for joining us today. Support for Food Friday comes from the Cheese Traveler Albany, a purveyor of handcrafted domestic and imported cheeses, charcuterie, pantry items, grilled cheeses, curated from farms, dairies, and producers locally and around the globe. TheCheeseTraveler.com. Cafe Capriccio, Albany, New York, the Rua family serving Albany with their regional Italian cuisine for over 40 years. 7 days a week for dining. CafeCapriccio.com. And the Apple Barn and Country Bake Shop, Bennington, announcing their fourth annual Blueberry Festival, Saturday, July 25th, with live music, food trucks, blueberry picking, and more. Facebook or theapplebarn.com. Thanks to absolutely everybody who called in and to Mike Bowen on the ones and zeros. I'm Aaron Shella Levine. I'll be back on Monday. Josh Landis will be back on Tuesday. Join us for that Monday. It's a medical Monday. We'll talk audiology. We'll see you then. Have a great weekend.